Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Every day.
Here's John Williams.
My friend Dave Flyer pointed out to me that if you Google Loyola Rambler Basketball Radio, WGN Radio is the first thing that comes up. We are your home for Rambler Basketball. What a fun night that was. We're all enjoying the conversations today. And even if you're not a basketball fan, here's the place that I put it in. Literally, Bingo, my not-well wiener dog, and I were in the G7 Action Stroller, now with mesh canopy, working our way down Lake Michigan today. And as we were going by, each of us wearing one of those Harry Potter yellow and maroon scarves, people would smile at us and sometimes stop us and visit. A guy came up to me who I don't know, and he just said, "How about that sister Jean? Like she had the winning shot." And then another guy came up to me and said, "Well, your loyalties are a little divided." I realized I was wearing my Butler basketball sweatpants, but there I was with my Loyola Rambler brand new scarf that I bought after the show yesterday. And so he and I started to visit about the beauty of a well-played basketball game and how it doesn't necessarily require the best athletes in the world if everybody just works together. And we said, isn't it great to see everybody working together? And I was reminded, to be honest with you, I really was, of the Cubs winning the World Series in 2016 at the same time that we were all so focused on a very divisive election. There was so much hostility in the air, and that run just felt so good. It was really a tonic for all of us. And I feel the same way. I feel a lot of things about this basketball team and college basketball in general, and I don't know a lick about Loyola. I promise you that. But I'm telling you, it has been a wonderful and uplifting distraction to find, say, on a casual walk in the city, everybody somehow united. Not everybody. Maybe you're not a big Loyola basketball fan. Maybe you don't watch basketball. Maybe you feel on the outside of this. But I'm telling you, it's easy to get in. I hadn't watched a Loyola game all year until the playoffs, until the NCAA tournament. And now they've won three games by a total of 4 points with kids that some of whom were cast-offs or the sorts of players the big programs didn't want. And you get them all together in a room with a coach who seems to play on the same page with them. And the next thing you know, you're in the Elite Eight. Ha! They're 1 win away from the Final Four. 2 wins away from the Final Two. I know you know the math, but isn't it amazing? So I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am.
Who's the main basketball player on the Ramblers and, you know, the really cute one that does all the interviews at the end?
Yeah.
I wonder if he has a girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to visit with the assistant athletic director here in a little bit, so maybe we can ask him that. We'll just say to, what's his name here? Elephant says, this just shows you how little we know, or at least I know. It says, we're going to interview the assistant athletic director. His name is Bill Burns. I will ask Bill Burns, Violetta, maybe you can ask him, hey, is the main guy single? That would be the question you could ask. That'll be our first question.
He seems like he'd be really popular on campus.
I went over to the downtown campus yesterday after the show, literally jogged over there, and I found a whole bunch of scarves on the wall. I was surprised. I said, oh, you still have some scarves. She said, this is the last of the second shipment. We cannot keep them up here. They're just flying out. So I bought one for Violetta, one for Elif, one for me, one for Brenda. I didn't get one for Steve because I didn't think he would like it. But just moments ago, we all took a video, one of those
boomerangs,
super fast repeating videos. And ladies, tell us when it's up on our various pages so that we can announce to the world to watch Steve Bertrand doing what looks like a hula on steroids.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was his first time. He was like, what am I doing?
How do I boomerang, said Steve.
Oh, don't make fun of me because I was asking you people what we were doing and no one could explain it to me.
Yeah, well, you just have to experience it.
Right. You don't explain it.
Here,
you just
hold this
do
and
it.
Shake around.
That's how you do a boomerang. And then somebody videos it, and the next thing you know, it's on an Instagram page, and you're all over the internet. I got a lot of likes of the video that we did yesterday, and we've got a new one for today. There's also a picture on my Twitter account of me and Bingo watching the game last night with our scarves on. I said, here, Brenda, take a picture of us. And she said, well, straighten up the sofa. You can't just take a picture without the sofa straightened
up. Fluff up those pillows.
Exactly.
Does Brenda ever say no when you have these ideas?
I know that sometimes she doesn't like my ideas, but she sure goes along.
Well, because you're just going to keep asking.
People make judgments about you with what they see of you on the internet, you know.
I know. Well, I think that's why we had to fluff up the sofa before we took. I said, here, just take a picture of me and Bingo wearing our scarves watching the game.
She goes, that's the part I was talking about.
She goes, fix the blanket. I go, what blanket? This blanket? Oh, for goodness sakes. So we fixed the blanket, and then we took a nice picture. You'll see our sofa and some books and me and Bingo. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Let me ask you this about Facebook. Are you thinking about deleting or using less or somehow changing you use Facebook? It's a great vehicle for me and us, and frankly, a lot of folks still love it and use it. As much as that's your father's Oldsmobile, it is still far and away the preferred platform in the United States and on Earth. Facebook is gigantic, so it can stand some pushback, but I'm wondering, are you going to use it less? Are you worried that the stuff you put on Facebook is, you know, I don't know, being hacked or used somehow, either for political purposes or commercial? There's a guy named David Pogue, and he wrote a book called Pogue's Basics. He's the technology writer for the New York Times. And in there, he has a bunch of quick tricks or easier ways to use your social media devices, your phones, your laptops, your whatnots. For instance, and I'll never forget the moment I learned this, when you type a sentence with your computer and then you put a period, you do not have to hit a double space. That's not how we roll anymore. That was a ha moment for me. And there's a bunch of simple things that, of course, you should know, but you don't. But I asked him, well, what should I do to sort of better protect myself when I use Facebook? And I asked him this, too. I said, hey, if I'm buying something online and it says, do you want us to save your credit card information? What do you think about that?
Well, it's definitely more convenient.
It certainly is more convenient, but you really feel like that's hanging out there, don't you? So I asked him that, and he has answers to all of these. Next on WGN. So here is David Pogue. He is the tech critic for the New York Times. He also does it for Yahoo.com. Let me get it exactly correct. He's the tech critic for Yahoo Finance and the personal technology columnist for the New York Times, and is the author of a really good book called Pogue's Basics, Essential Tips and Shortcuts. Welcome back to WGN Radio, David. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you so much.
Are you in New York?
Connecticut, close enough.
Did you get hit by that four-easter?
Man, I'm tired of these false alarms. I actually set up a GoPro on time-lapse to film the 18 inches of snow. It was about an eighth of an inch.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, we run into that too. But they had four Northeasters cruise up the East Coast this winter, this spring for that matter almost. How much snow did you guys get there in Connecticut?
The third one amounted to something. It was maybe 4 inches, but most of the others were big nothings.
Man, I'll tell you, it's that mainstream media. They just oversell everything. I just hate it when that happens.
The meteorologists are in league with the coat salesman. That's my job, my theory.
Yeah, there it is. You wrote a book called Pogue's Basics. When did that come out?
That was about 3.5 years ago.
What were some of the great revelations of that? I mean, people like me, I was just laughing earlier in describing you. I said, this is the guy that told me I don't have to double space after a period when typing a sentence. What a life changer. And everybody laughs. But what are some other things that were surprising maybe to you that people didn't realize they can do on their laptops and their phones and stuff like that?
Sure. Well, I mean, that's it. So many people have technology, but there's no sort of driver's ed for technology. So people wind up owning devices and not really knowing how to use them. So, yeah, the whole book, the whole idea here is a bunch of things that you would think people know because you'd use them every day, but they don't. For example, if your smartphone is ringing in an embarrassing place like a movie theater or church, you can just squeeze it through your pocket or in your purse without having to look at it or pull it out. Any button on the edge will stop the ringing. You don't have to look at the screen. You don't have to tap a button on the screen.
I did not know this.
Squeeze the edges and you'll hit one of the buttons.
Did not know that.
Right, not just the edge. You do have to hit a button, John. You can't just like squeeze your phone like a stress ball.
But if you wrap your fingers around it,
you're going to hit something, huh?
There's buttons on three sides.
So. Yeah. Give me another hokey smokes. I should have known that.
You should leave out the apostrophe when you're typing. So usually it's a big pain in the butt to switch to the punctuation layout and find the apostrophe when you're typing I'd or won't or can't or don't or wouldn't or whatever. You don't need to type the apostrophe. It'll put that in for you.
Just really?
Plow on through the word, and it will correct it for you.
I didn't know that either. Violetta, did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
I'm changing lives here.
Yes, you are. I think this book is really helpful because as a millennial, most non-millennials, including parents, grandparents, anyone that sees you on the street, hey, you probably know how to use this.
Right.
Tell me how to use this.
You should just carry a satchel full of them and go, look, I don't have time. Just read this. It's all there. What do you make of this Facebook fiasco, 3.0 this week?
It is a fiasco. It's another reminder that the modern era is a massive trade of free goods and services for our data. And in this case, a really sinister law-breaking kind of thing. An academic in London collected data for his personality prediction app. 300,000 people said, sure, sign me up with my Facebook account. And then the guy turned around and gave the collected Facebook data to Cambridge Analytica, a firm that the Trump campaign had hired to spread misinformation on.
And I don't know, and I've been having trouble putting my finger on who the real bad guy is here. Like, is it Facebook? Is it Cambridge? Is it this guy? Is it the Trump campaign? Conservatives who listen to this show remind me that the Obama campaign mined social media data for their purposes as well. So I'm trying to figure out where the big problem is. What's the first domino here?
Well, opposition research goes on both sides all the time, but what this guy did was breaking the rules. He signed a contract when he wrote his app that said, I won't share the data that I collect, and he absolutely did. And by the way, he did that in 2014. In 2015, Facebook changed the rules so that couldn't have happened again. In other words, they don't get that data now. And after the Cambridge disaster, Facebook has even tamped down more. So, when you go to a new app or a website and it offers you the chance to sign in with Facebook? In the old days, that would give the app or the website a whole lot of information about you, your name, your email address, your political and religious affiliations, gender, all this kind of stuff. Starting now, all they're going to get is your name, photo, and email address. So it will be intended to let you sign into things more quickly, but it won't share nearly as much data.
Whether you knew it or not, the old rule might have been to be safe, don't sign up with Facebook. But if we believe them going forward now, it's okay to do that, huh?
It just depends on your tolerance for knowing what's being collected. They are going to get your name and email address, which means you're going to get advertised to.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you really are concerned, don't ever use that login with Facebook thing. My guess is that most millennials sort of are used to it and don't care. They're like, oh, yeah, that's fine, whatever. I have a spam filter. I'll save myself the time. But here's what everybody listening should do. On the Facebook homepage, if you go up to the question mark in the upper right corner and choose privacy checkup, you will find that there is an immediately obvious, it's called, privacy checkup. You will find a list of every app and website to which you have ever given access to your Facebook data with a simple X button to turn it off. So you can do that right now. Go to the question mark menu and choose privacy checkup. And there's the list of everything you've ever shared, and you can shut it down.
Does that mean I'm no longer able to use that app?
It means you'll no longer be able to sign in using your Facebook account. That's true. But they also won't be getting your Facebook data.
Okay, but I still want to use those apps, so I'll just have to... What happens as a result of that?
So then from now on... So what they've got now, they've got. Data they've got, they've got. But from now on, all they'll get is your name and email address. And Mark Zuckerberg also tells us that as a convenience to you, any service you haven't used in 3 months, they're going to cut off automatically. They're going to shut down access to your account.
So again, you're still able. You have the functionality that you had previously, but the sharing of that information, particularly if we use the thing you just described, going to that list of apps and then checking the box, that will now shut off the flow. That's what we're trying to do here, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I should say one more thing, just to make sure everybody's completely depressed here. it's important to note that most of the breaches that we hear about, Sony and Target and Equifax, and even pretty much this Facebook thing, there really isn't anything you can do. You know, they say make your password complicated, change your password often. But guess what? It doesn't matter how complicated your password is. If somebody breaks into Equifax,
right,
and steals all the databases, it's too bad.
They've right. Got you. Right, right. Yeah, listen, I'm sorry I called. I'm never going to call you again. His name is David Pogue, and he is the tech critic for Yahoo Finance, the personal technology columnist at the great New York Times. And is the book, Pogue's Basics, still available?
Indeed it is. By the way, former New York Times. I switched to Yahoo a couple years ago. But yeah, the book Pogue's Basics is still out and still relevant.
It sure is. You are, too. I'm going to call you again, probably tomorrow. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Thanks for visiting with us. That's David Pogue over at Yahoo. Hi, it's John Williams wearing a Loyola Ramblers scarf. Mark Baser, the host of the interview show, has a new episode coming up. He's always a fun and funny conversation. He'll say hi to us in about 15 minutes. But before we do that, Bill Behrens joins us, the assistant athletic director over at the Loyola Ramblers. Let's see. And he is on line number 7. Hey, Bill, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you doing?
Good. I want to also bring into this conversation Kevin Powell. And Elle, if you need to tell me how to do that, it just dawns on me. He's on Selector 2.
How you doing, John?
Hey, Kevin. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Bill, thanks for joining us. This is fun.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Great.
You guys know each other, huh?
No.
Everybody is the best friends of the Ramblers now.
Yep.
So we are live on WGN Radio, and welcome again to our audience that's listening to us on the stream at WGNRadio.com. That's where we do Sports Central this time, and Kevin Powell's doing the sports show. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of killing two birds with one Rambler here. What's it been like over there today, Bill?
It's been a little quiet today. We're currently at practice right now, which is a closed practice, so it's a little quiet in the arena, which is nice after a crazy game, another crazy game last night that came right down to the wire. Hopefully we can have a little less drama tomorrow against Kansas State.
Is Sister Jean actually drawing up plays? Is that why we can't be there?
I think she's out in the parking lot right now, working on a couple of things right now with Coach Moser.
Kevin, what was the biggest surprise to you watching that game?
Ooh, you know what? I don't necessarily say I want to call it a surprise because they've been such a steady team all year, but they did kind of come out a little shaky and play into Nevada's style, which was high-powered and fast and some unforced errors by Loyola. But then we saw what we've seen all tournament and really all season was everybody settles down. Coach Moser kind of settles everybody down. They get back into their rhythm of things, and they go, you know, they kind of dictate the tempo and things like that. So I know you said you didn't want the drama tomorrow night, Bill, but, man, these games have been fun. Three wins by a combined 4 points. It's incredible.
Yeah, it has been unbelievable to have three games come down to the wire like that and to come out on top in all three. That doesn't happen too often. But that's just a sign of the resiliency of this team. You know, you get down by double digits and nothing really rattles them. And they never feel like they're out of a game, no matter what the fans may be thinking at that point in time. These guys just keep scratching and clawing and chipping away. And they're such a confident bunch right now, especially after you have three wins like that. You know, they feel like they can play with and beat anybody in the country.
Well, there was I believe the TV guys, Kevin, maybe you heard this, maybe, Bill, you know this, but I believe they said that the Ramblers had executed 100 passes in the first half. And it's fascinating, but sometimes maddening to watch these guys pass up so many shots, waiting for the better shot. It's the definition of unselfishness, but do you guys notice what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't count the passes, but I know, like you just said, John, I mean, they are such an unselfish team, so selfless, and the thing that makes this team so dangerous is that there's so many different guys that can beat you on any given night, and I think the three games in this tournament have proven that. You know, Dante Ingram hits a shot to beat Miami at the buzzer. Clayton Custer hits the shot to beat Tennessee. And then Marcus Towns hits a huge three last night to push the lead from 1-4. But Andre Jackson hit a three that broke the tie and gave us the lead for good. So there's so many weapons on this team, and these guys, so many of these guys can beat you.
Bill, a lot of people have talked about the exposure that the university's gotten. Yesterday, John was running around and buying those signature scarves for people at the radio station. Everybody wants them. So there's that part of the marketing aspect for the university. But there's no denying that this is obviously going to help the basketball program moving forward.
No, there's no question about it. And like you said, it doesn't just help the basketball program. It's such a boon for the university. You know, we had an alumni event here yesterday before the game, and to just see the amount of Loyola alums that came down to Atlanta for this, from our side of things, there were so many former student athletes that came back, and it's great to see people showing that pride in their school again. And that's fantastic. It certainly teams that make runs like this, you usually see a correlation the following year in admission numbers that see an uptick in, see it in donations, you see it in apparel sales.
Yeah.
There's so many things, and obviously the publicity has been just terrific.
I donated $110 to the university bookstore yesterday for four scarves.
Perfect. We accept and appreciate your donation.
Was the team that good last year? And Kevin, you can hit me in the face afterwards when I ask this, but are they going to be this good next year? I want to enjoy this, but yeah, I'm just wondering if this means Loyola is back and is going to have staying power for the next few years.
Is that for me, John, or is that for Kevin?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I would say absolutely. I mean, Marcus Towns is a junior. Clayton Custer will be back next year. He's a redshirt junior, so he's got one more year of eligibility. You lose a guy like Ben Richardson. I believe Dante Ingram's a center as well. Cameron Krutwig is a freshman, and I feel like you just always see him on the court. It's a guy we're going to see for the next 4 years. For me, Loyola's in a really, 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 really good spot. Bill? Your thoughts on it? Is that accurate?
Bill's just nodding. Bill's just nodding.
Yeah, Bill's like, yep. No, yep.
Never mind that. We have a more important question. Violetta wants to ask a question. Violetta, what was your question for our guest?
That really cute kid at the end who's like really important on the team. He always gets interviewed. His name is escaped me right now.
Who's the real cute one they interview after the games, and is he single?
I was getting there. He's pretty popular, right, on campus?
I think all of these guys are pretty popular on campus right now.
And pretty and single.
If we keep winning some games, I think their popularity is only going to rise.
And what is it like for these kids on campus right now? I mean, what is their experiences?
You know, it's been great. You know, we've been on the road here a lot the last 2 weeks with these games, but when we came back last Sunday to campus, and had about 500 students waiting for the team when the buses pulled back into campus. That's something that we just haven't seen at Loyola in a very long time. And these guys have been treated like royalty, and we saw some unbelievable videos from our student union of the Loyola students watching the game last night, and that place just went absolutely up for grabs at the end of the game. And I know our guys, what we're seeing that stuff on social media last night, they had chills watching it.
You know, the Billy Goat blew up late yesterday when that last shot went in, I'll tell you that. Well, all right, Kevin, what's your prediction for the next game?
Well, I'm just trying to predict who the hero is going to be, because we've had three different heroes in three games. Yeah. Dante Ingram, then Custer, then Marcus Towns last night.
Whose turn is it next?
I'm going with the big man, Krutwig. I don't know. I'm just always partial to the big man, the scrappy guy. I don't know. Somehow he's going to come up big. With Krutwig.
How many shots did we get blocked? I mean, I was so frustrated. We'd have a breakaway layup, or we'd have a little bunny putback or something, and these guys would just snap it out of the air and reject our shots, but then they just kept playing. I'll bet they blocked seven of our shots last night. I don't know whose turn it is. And I keep thinking when I see these bigger, stronger, more athletic teams, these more storied programs, the K-States, the Kentuckys, you know, any of them, I think, oh, God, how can we compete against that? And then, son of a gun, we do, don't we?
No, absolutely. I mean, like I said, these guys, especially having a game at Florida, we went down into Gainesville in December against the number 5 team in the country at that point in time, and to beat them on their home floor, that certainly took our guys' confidence to a completely another level. And, you know, after the first three games in this tournament combined with that Florida win, these guys definitely feel like they can play with anybody in the country. And they're as confident a bunch as there is right now, and have the longest winning streak in the country right now coming into tomorrow's game. So,
oh, really? How many games is that?
Yeah. It is 13 in a row.
Huh. All right. Bill Behrens is the assistant athletic director. He's watching a closed practice right now. We will cheer you guys on. What is it? TBS 6 o'clock? On
5 o'clock tomorrow night.
Correct.
Say the time again, Kevin.
I believe it was 5 Central, if 6 o'clock in Atlanta.
6 Eastern. Yep.
6 gotcha. Eastern, 5 yep. o'clock here. Yep. Okay. All right. We'll be watching. Bill, thanks for your time, and good luck to you guys. Our best to you guys. Thanks for all you've done for basketball, for Loyola, and for the city. I'm telling you, it's been a real pleasure, and we hope for, I guess, 3 more wins, right? 8-4-2?
That would be fantastic. Thanks, guys, for having me on, and thanks for all the stuff you guys have done and said about this program as well. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank
good
you,
luck,
sir.
Bill.
You know, Kevin, it doesn't sound like he minds that we're a bunch of Johnny-come-lately. Maybe not you.
You know what? I was going to applaud their media relations department because they do a really good job of staying in touch with members of the media. And some people just, whether it's a sporting team or a newfound celebrity, some people just don't capitalize on it. And Loyola's done a great job of media exposure with Sister Jean and with athletic directors and the coach. So I don't know, I applaud them in that department as well.
It's such a nice storybook run, isn't it? I mean, the kid in Dallas makes the winning shot. They tried to schedule a game down south for him this year, but they weren't able to do it. But then lo and behold, they get a Dallas seed for the tournament. Yeah. And then he hits the game-winning shot. Three different kids hitting three different winning shots. Don't even throw in Sister Jean, just the wild card that she is. But it's just been, you know, such a nice, warm story for the country and for Chicago.
It's fun to be a bandwagon fan sometimes, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. We've all kind of come together and rallied behind this team, and it's just been awesome. Just, you know, it's so enjoyable to watch.
It's like you guys go ahead and toil away in obscurity, and then when you're really huge and popular.
When it's easy, because all you keep doing is winning.
I'll be there for you. But I'm going to be there next year, too. I'm mad at myself for having, how many wins do they have now? What's their record, like 20?
31 now? 30 wins, something like that?
I'm sorry I've missed 29 or 28 of those wins this year. I want to do over.
I apologize for rooting against them in the Missouri Valley Championship game because they beat my Redbirds. They sparked all of this.
I'm still amazed that Sister Jean is getting a pass on not having them in her.
Come on, you can't hassle a
98-year-old nun.
No.
One guy in Tennessee did.
Yeah, guy's an idiot.
What a bad man he was. What's the matter, Elif? What were you thinking?
I just don't watch any sports at all, and last night I turned it on at the gym because it's the only place that I have a TV.
Yeah.
And I banged my fist down when Nevada scored.
Can you reenact that?
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to see Elif pounding her fist at something. That's incredible.
Losing your stuff, Elif. What does that look like? Really, were you throwing weights around and cussing and
kicking?
Yeah. Spitting on people.
I was grunting while I was lifting because I was thinking about that. Basket.
Yeah, watching at the bar last night, every single person there was just glued to the TV.
Yeah, everybody. Do you have one of those scarves, Kevin?
I don't. No. If
you want to rent mine, I bought 4 of them yesterday.
For a total of what, $110?
Yes. They weren't too bad. They were only 20. You know, if they were smart, they would have charged 30. I gave them 24 per, and I would have paid more because, you know, what are you going
to
do?
They're tough to find. I was talking to Madeline Kenny from the Sun-Times to start the show, and she said she was at the student bar, Bar 63.
Yeah.
And some people were kind of walking off with other people's scarves.
John, I know that you're willing to pay up, but I think they'd like to have students to be able to afford them, too. So.
Oh, right. There's that. Not everybody's a rich talk show host, huh, Steve? All right. Hey, Kevin, nice to talk to you. Keep doing what you're doing on
Sports
Central.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks, guys.
We are simulcasting with Kevin Powell there, no longer here, on WGN Radio and at WGNRadio.com, where simultaneously he's doing a sports show, Sports Central. It's 1:51. Mark Baser, our favorite comic and talk show host, has another talk show, the show that he does over at The Hideout. We'll preview his show with you in a minute on WGN.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Actually, I'm going to...
Here's John Williams.
...farm that out this hour. It's 2:10. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We sure appreciate your listening. We're here weekdays till 3.
Oh, have mercy.
On Fridays, that's today, we do something called The Bright Side around 2:40. Folks call in, share good news, smiles, happiness. It's unlike the rest of the week. All that coming your way. Do you listen to WGN Radio pretty late? Well, of course you do. I'm glad you do. That's where Patty Vasquez holds court. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hello. Thank you. Yes, it's not too late. It's not very late. It's just pretty late.
Patty joins us once in a while just to sort of catch up with one of our late night friends on the daytime. And I want to make sure you hear this voice during the day so you remember to listen to that. Look at that. There's a lady walking by with her scarf. She's got on her Rambler scarf. I was taking my dog for a walk today. I had the Rambler scarf on, and he had the Rambler scarf on. We were adorable.
Where's the picture of that?
It's out there.
Okay, I'll take a look.
We also put up, and by the way, we put up a boomerang that Violetta and Elif concocted with me and Steve, and we've all got the scarves going. It's, you know, a fast, manic micro video.
Over and over and over.
And yet, in the video that goes like, what is it? 1 second? 1.5
seconds? 6 seconds. Well, yeah.
Is that thing 6 seconds? Well, it repeats.
Well, it repeats, right. So I guess
loop.
It's, yeah, 2 seconds.
Most of it, Steve, is not moving. It's amazing how uninvolved Steve could be.
Come on, be fair to me. I had no idea what you guys were doing. I'm finishing my show.
No,
you say stand up and wear this. I don't know what's going on.
No, in your defense, Steve, it takes a lot of skill and a lot of time and practice to get the boomerangs correct.
Yeah, Steve, that's right.
Just stand up. We're just going to take your picture of a video really fast.
Okay, we'll do another one.
I think without motion is also a statement in a boomerang. Because it sort of heightens the people that are moving.
That is so true, Patty Vasquez.
Bold choice, Steve. I'm just saying, I think you made it work.
Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
He is the sun around which the rest of us little tiny planets orbit.
Wow. He's puffing us up. He's helping us.
Mark Baser does a show at The Hideout. How often do you do that show, Mark Baser? Welcome to WGN.
How are you? Hi, Patty.
Hello.
I do the show. Well, it's on TV every week, but it's filmed once a month, if that makes sense.
That's kind of what I'm asking for. So interview show at The Hideout. So what are you here to plug? TV show?
We're back on air tonight on TV.
When do you record another show?
We record another show April 6th. So this show that is on tonight was recorded back in December, but we like to give it time to get old.
I like to interview people. Mark, I like to watch the shows on TV, so I'm glad you're letting me know.
Thank you.
Well, that is the way most folks will consume it. So what time is your television show on this evening, Mark Baser?
The show is on 7:30 on the Channel 11, WTTW. And it's a good one. It's a good one. It's Jeannie Gang. She's the MacArthur Award-winning architect. And Natasha Trethewey, who is a former National Poet Laureate, two-time National Poet Laureate. And they're both awesome. They're both amazing. And poetry and architecture are fairly evergreen things. So even though we filmed it in December, not much has changed.
Friends of mine were at this. I did not see this show. Friends of mine were at the taping at The Hideout. And I said, how was it? And they said, it was so good. And I said, well, who did he have on? And they said, well, this really good poet. And I went, sorry, I missed that. And they
said, yeah. John.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's rude to friends, to me.
To the arts.
She's amazing. She is amazing. She is amazing. She the interview, I think, and it's like nothing I did. It's just sit back and let her be great.
Well, that's what they said. It was fascinating. And that this is the true talent that Mark Baser has. He'll take topics that might on paper seem a little heady and turn them into very accessible, fun, funny conversations.
So I dumb it down.
It works, whatever you're doing. Well,
I didn't ask her if poetry had a rhyme. I didn't go that far.
Did she do some poetry in the show?
Didn't. No. I mean, no. Her life is pretty extraordinary, and she's from the Gulfport, Mississippi area. She's now at Northwestern, so we talked a little bit about that and how, you know, she wrote a book, in fact, about how the Hurricane Katrina affected that area. Obviously, we've read and heard so much about how it devastated New Orleans, but it devastated more than that, and it devastated an area that, you know, is often overlooked anyways, regardless of whether there's a storm or not, or a disaster. And she also had a, she also has a compelling story of how she got into poetry. Her mother actually, very, very tragically was killed, and, killed by her, the person that she, her mom was with at the time. And that led to, her becoming, finding where could she find a place to kind of
put that emotion, put that feeling,
yeah. and it was poetry. She was in college at the time, and she rose up to become the former, to become a national poet laureate twice. And her poetry is, and I'm not somebody who goes around, I wish I did. I wish I read more poetry. And one of the things that I learned from reading her books is that, in this world of things going so fast and just going on Twitter and reading Twitter all the time, sometimes it's good to just slow down and spend some time with something that, like when you read a long novel or something like that, instead of just reading the news.
Well, when you read poetry too, you have to sometimes read it 2 or 12 times to, appreciate it a different way each time. You know who's a good poet in town is Mary Schmeek, the Tribune columnist.
Yes, she's delightful.
She's whimsical and funny, and when she wants to yell at the president, she does so in lighthearted poetry, which still causes her no end of grief, I'm sure, but it's well done. Okay, so that tonight. Anything else, real quick, Mark? You want to throw in here? Well, a good reason to watch your show this evening?
No, there's no other good reason. We've got Jeannie Gang is great. Jeannie Gang is also great. And then on April 6th, we got a good show. If you want to come out to the Hideout, we've got Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl, and we've got Daniel Krauss. Daniel Krauss, you should have Daniel Krauss on. He is the co-story writer of The Shape of Water, the Oscar-winning film. Yeah, so he lives in town, and he also turned that, The Shape of Water. It wasn't a book beforehand. It's kind of an interesting situation where he and Guillermo del Toro wrote the book at the same time or around the same time that they came up with a story for the movie, so it's not a novelization.
I will do that. I will reach out to him. Michael Shannon was in our studio, sitting where Patty is now, sat here with us for a half an hour, and I got to tell you, it was not a great interview.
Oh, really?
It was a fine interview.
Isn't that a weird moment? All three of us can appreciate that moment. You're like, how do I get this back on track?
I know. Well, it's not his fault, but he didn't have the... He wasn't as excited about it as I was. He didn't.
Disproportionate
all day
excitement.
Going, oh my God, I get to be on with John Williams. But John Williams is going, oh my God, Michael Shannon from Shape of Water will be right here. And so I think we had different expectations for the interview.
Did you see where he watched the Academy Awards from?
Isn't that amazing?
The Ale House over in Old Town.
Yeah, just sitting there having a beer by himself, watching his stuff up there. Mark, congratulations. Watch Channel 11 tonight at 7:30.
7:30.
And come by before that April 6th show. We'll visit with you in the studio.
I would love to. Thanks, guys.
The interview show, Mark Baser.
It's a great show.
Patty, are you on board the bus?
I did not buy gear because we had a listener call last night who actually, this is the reason. I'm not superstitious, but I do like rituals. And I think whatever you've done leading up to this point is what you should continue to do.
Oh, yeah.
And so a woman called last night. She is an alum. And she said when she was a student, she never bought any gear. But she does have one shirt that's burgundy or maroon. What do they go with? Maroon and gold?
What do you call this? I would call this
very vibrant.
Maroon and gold.
I think maroon and gold.
Yeah.
And she has one shirt. And she wanted to know if she should buy gear, like a scarf or socks. And we said, no, go with what you've done. She's gone to the same bar. She has sat in the same spot and watched every game in the same place. So that's what you have to do.
Is she a Cubs fan, too? It seems like Cubs fans have tried to cling to rituals.
I think Blackhawks fans do, too. They seem really,
really?
Entrenched in
Blackhawks?
That. During the playoffs, when we've, aside from this year, which is fine. We're fine. We're totally fine.
Yeah, we're good about it.
It's okay. But, during the playoffs, people will not wash items of clothing that they wear on the day of the game, sit in the same spot, grow out beards. There's a lot of ritual in hockey.
Yeah, and if you didn't hang out with them on the night of the win, you're not allowed to hang out with them the rest of
Oh, really? Then you can't upset that sort of karma that they had going.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I just share with you all something that happened? So Patty walks into the studio, and she's drinking coffee now, because is this like normally when you wake up anyway?
Yes, this is early morning. This is 5 a.m. for me.
Patty Vasquez, pretty late on WGN Radio weeknights from 9 to...
Maybe 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
11 p.m. to 2 a.m. So she says, hey, I'll get some coffee. I said, great, I'll buy. We fuss over who's going to buy. I win. I hand her a 20. Off she goes. To where? The cashless evil Argo tea. I have been on a harangue about this. And here's another problem with the cashless society. Okay. If you say to somebody, no, I'll get it. If you do exactly what we tried to do right now, I insist you take this 20 and you go buy coffees for all of us. What happens?
I can't do it because I have to go use my credit card.
So then she
I was fine with because then I had wanted to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, but think about that. So now I either got to give you my debit card, which maybe folks aren't as comfortable with.
I'm not going
to
do that.
So then you come back with the coffees and go, I had to put them on my debit card. And then I say, well, all right, that was like $3.06. It was like $9. Here's a 10.
Nope, keep not
it.
Taking your money.
What a messed up thing.
This is really disrupting your world. I can
it
feel
is.
It. Yeah.
It is. It is. And you know, I was just counting up how much money I had on my abacus the other day. And I thought... I thought, I know the world is changing, but I still want currency to be accepted.
Well, and you're also less likely to keep track if you are using your credit card. When you have cash and that's gone, you know not to spend anymore because you can't. But you have a credit card. You're like, oh, I'll just pay for this later. It's delayed, you know, responsibility.
I want to read to you some of the quotes from the former Playboy model who alleges to have had an affair with Donald Trump and get your reaction to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think a female perspective is interesting, particularly on this. Have you been talking about that pretty late?
We have not. No, we save all of our Trump talk for Fridays.
Do you really? What a good idea.
We keep it in a packet. Like
memo
once in a while.
Self.
If there's a big story, obviously, we will talk about it. And we talk to politics because of the primaries. But in general, I try to just sort of consolidate it. And by the time Friday rolls around, like the news of Monday is gone already.
Right.
You know?
You realize. Well, and isn't the takeaway from that then, if you miss a day, it's okay. There'll be another crazy bus coming along,
yes.
And it's not all so consequential as we tend to make it. Elif, where is the Dow now?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 263.22 points at 23,694.67. The Dow is down 1.10%.
Man, bad week. 23.6, we're down for the year. We're down for the year now. 263, we had given up 300. We were up 100. I suppose that's still the residual from the tariffs. It's amazing how many things are Trump talk these days.
Yep.
And you know,
see
Patty,
why I save it for Friday.
Patty Vasquez in the studio. You can hear her at 11 o'clock tonight. You're on tonight.
I am on tonight.
Are you going to get preemptive for some baseball games? Maybe on the West Coast.
Not too often. When we had the Cubs, there was only a couple of games that we started our show late, and one of them was at when the middle of the field got flooded and the tarps. They couldn't get the tarps out
oh,
in
really?
Time, and we started. They held us until 10 to 2, and finally called the game. I had an 8-minute show.
Former Playboy model Karen McDougal did an Anderson Cooper interview. And then I think Anderson Cooper's also doing the Stormy Daniels one.
On 60 Minutes.
But he's CNN. What's he doing on CBS?
He's one of their contributors on 60 Minutes as well.
He works for both networks at the same time. So he's got that interview, which I think I'll watch. I have only seen clips of this Karen McDougal thing. But she's a Republican who voted for Trump, who loves Trump, who is sorry the relationship disintegrated, and said that they had an affair for... several months.
10 months.
Intimate many times. And it goes back to 2006. I don't know. Patty, what to make of this? Why are we so preoccupied?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by it. And the reason she's doing it is because she had an agreement with another media outlet to pay her money, to help her keep getting work. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain. She felt they buried the story to protect the president. So she's the wrath knows no fury.
Buried?
What's the matter, Steve?
Well, they never printed it.
That's what I mean.
But that cash and kill concept is new to me, and I guess that's a thing. The National Enquirer will buy a story, give you $130,000 in Stormy Daniels' case for the express purpose of not running the story to protect the person that you want to out. And I've never thought about that, but it sounds like in her case, McDougal's, she wanted the publicity for promotional purposes, right?
Well, that's what I didn't understand. The idea was that she was going to get work, but that they wouldn't tell. I think it was that they wouldn't tell. I don't understand what the cash and kill part of this is, because it seems like she didn't want it to come out. Then she didn't like the way they were handling the payment and the promises that they made. So that's why she's telling the story. I don't know.
She teared up when asked what would she say to Melania. She said, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
These ladies are preying on each other. Cooper asked McDougal if she kept any text messages, photographs, or videos as proof of her and Trump's alleged affair. "Let me say this," she said. "If you're in a loving relationship, do you try and collect evidence?" The only thing she kept was a journal, and she did share that with CNN just to document the times that she saw the president.
And, you know, selfies weren't as prevalent. You know, cell phones with cameras were just starting to emerge as a...
She strikes me as really credible.
I agree. This
whole thing rings believable.
Have you read the part about how she says he always would tell her how much she reminded him of his daughter, Ivanka? That's the creepy... And that she's like that she was smart like his daughter, that is how daughter... She said she would hear about Ivanka a lot when they were together, which is just the weirdest thing when if you're going to be naked with somebody.
Hon, I love you and you love me and, you know, this is very exciting and inappropriate, but let's not talk about Ivanka so much.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be just like a rule.
That's just weird.
I know it's bad enough that we're doing this, but let's not bring her into this.
Yeah, and she says she's sorry now. She also said when she heard the audio tape on Access Hollywood, or the videotape on Access Hollywood, she said that wasn't the man that she knows, yet the man she knows had an affair on his wife. So what kind of man did you think he was?
Yeah, that's why when they get all choked up about how sad they are that the relationship has ended because you really loved him, I'm just thinking, you're cheating on his wife. You know, I mean, he's willing to do it and you're willing to do it, but you're cheating on his wife. You know, so how much sympathy am I supposed to have for you since you have none for her? Right.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how you and how do people sort of get all this information? And people want to justify their opinions and they're like, well, this is OK. This was a relationship, a consenting relationship between two adults. So it's OK that he did this.
Well, that's generally where he wasn't president yet. I mean, to me, that's right. I think this is no more important than Joe the plumber having an affair with the lady down the street. It's two people who want to cheat on that third person. And in America, you get to do that. You shouldn't. I wish you wouldn't, but you get to do
that. You don't want to outlaw that. I mean, that's a lot of people in trouble.
I don't think I do. Now, if that person becomes president of the United States, then too bad for the person that becomes president of the United States. But I think he would have won even if we had known. I just don't see how this is important to us, other than it's scandalous and interesting.
Well, right now, I think it goes to the building story with Stormy Daniels. I think that's why the news outlets want to keep putting this out there.
I still think the Stormy Daniels story is in the same box as this, though. I don't see.
Well, it depends on where the money's coming from, and
maybe so. That's the only reason for any of this to matter is if to keep these ladies quiet, they were using campaign finances. Then that violates some sort of campaign finance law, which is really small potatoes. I think
still
in the grand scheme of things.
Well, if we go to the part that might be illegal, that's where you go.
I guess so. All right, Patty Vasquez is on the radio tonight.
It'll be fun Trump talk, I promise. Well, not even that much. We got a lot of state politics to talk about. We have Leslie Zemeckis, who is a film producer. She's a director, a writer, an actress, and you might know her as the wife of Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, no kidding.
She's incredible. She's got a really amazing life, and if you follow her on Instagram, you can see how she celebrates life all the time.
Keep listening to WGN Radio. We're 29 minutes away from White Sox baseball. And then Justin and you will pick it up afterwards tonight.
Yes. Thanks. Very excited.
Nice
go
to see you,
go
Pat.
Baseball. It's really hard for me to say go Sox. I'm a Cubs fan. But I'm excited to have them here, but still.
Really? Is that where you are on this?
Oh, go baseball.
240 on GN Radio.
I love you, so I try to get you.
Marcia Lyles just stepped into our studio from WGN Radio Sales, getting ready for the Bright Side. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, John.
Nice to see you. As always, on a Friday, she'll be reading the text. I'll be taking your calls. We'll do that in just a few minutes. If you want to get in line now or text right now, 312-981-7200. What's your good news, your bright side? Before we do that, though, on Fridays, we'd like to give you some recommendations from the gang here, things we think you might enjoy to do this weekend. What are we listening to, Ella?
This is Curtis Harding. You'll see him at Lincoln Hall tonight. Tickets are $18 to $20 at LHST.com, 18 plus age.
Violetta, do something gigantic. I always do call on you to do the big city events because it affects traffic and you usually got your eye to that. What are you recommending?
Yeah, there's the Shamrock Shuffle. The Bank of America Shamrock Shuffle is on Sunday, kicking off at Grand Park.
And it's going to be a lot of people down there. And if running's your thing, go check it out.
It's funny because the Shamrock Shuffle, I was just talking about this with my son. He's got a ticket you have to buy to be in it. Maybe you can still do that. But he said, hey, I can't go. Do you want to run the 8K for me? And I said, I'll pass. But they do that the weekend after St. Patrick's Day, huh?
Yeah, just keep on going with the green.
By the way, Steve Cochran and John DeCoss, as you may have heard, are performing their comedy show at the Rouse Center for the Arts in Crystal Lake tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You can still get $25 tickets for that at rousecenter.org. Elif, what do you like?
Ian Westwood, dance workshop and meet and greet Sunday at 7, $30 at artisticdanceexchange.com. Dance.
Violetta, go.
We have the March for Our Lives, the student protest against gun violence. That's going to be at Union Park at Randolph and Ogden. A lot of young people are going to come out there, and it's expected to be thousands. Maybe that's your thing this weekend.
And I think there are going to be some old people there, too. Have you guys heard numbers on that? How many folks are they saying?
They're just saying thousands right now. I don't know if they have a good estimate.
Yeah, sometimes it's really hard to know, especially when it's a first event like that. Here's just a couple of music highlights coming to Chicago. Justin Timberlake is at the United Center Tuesday night. Tickets start at $160. Lord is going to be at the Allstate Arena Tuesday night. Tickets for that start at $39.50. And she ain't singing, but she's funny. Janine Garofalo is at Talia Hall. Is it Talia Hall tonight? $34 to see Janine Garofalo. I don't know where she's been lately. I love Janine Garofalo. Very funny. Elif, give us another one. What are you recommending this weekend?
Friends of mine are in a band called Forest Home, and they're going to be alongside Out the Car Window, Dan Durley, and Snort at Subterranean tomorrow at 6:30.
I have no idea what you just said.
Four different bands. So just go.
At Subterranean. Subterranean. Ticketweb.com. Violetta, give us another fun thing to do this weekend.
The Good Food Expo at UIC. Tickets range from $30 to $65, and it's all about healthy food and healthy living.
Paw Patrol has an Easter celebration tomorrow, 9:45 at North Riverside Park Mall. It's free. It's for the little critters and you. That's at North Riverside Park Mall tomorrow, 9:45. It's 2:43 on WGN Radio. Let's pause here. Here's your chance to call 312-981-7200. Tell me something that's making you smile, something that you're feeling good about, something you're happy about. If you haven't thought of that, if it doesn't come to mind, now's the time to do it. You should do this. And then share it. 312-981-7200. There's our little song.
Some things in life are bad.
White Sox baseball
really
coming up in 11 minutes.
Other things just make you swear.
So let's kick the weekend off with a baseball game.
Chewing on life's gristle.
And the bright side.
Grumble, give a whistle.
Call me now. Call me.
This'll help things turn out for the best.
312-981-7200.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Whistle, Marcia. 312-981-7200. Marshall Isles goes first. Bright side, go.
Well, I'm smiling, John, because I had to wear a belt today.
You have to wear a belt today, and that's making you smile.
Yes.
Okay, is there anything I need? Oh, because you've lost so much weight.
Yeah.
You look great, my dear.
Well, you didn't need to tell us, Marcia. We can tell. You look fantastic.
All right, Steve, what's your bright side?
No kidding. I love Saturday mornings driving around doing errands, listening to Lou Manfredini and John Williams.
Violetta, what's your bright side? Why are you smiling?
I'm going to clean out my trunk and get a car wash.
Elif, what's your bright side?
I have a bright side, and it's that my cousin got engaged to a girl named Elif, who I love, by the way. She's awesome.
There's another Elif out there?
Yeah, but she goes by Leif in America.
E-L-I-F. Is she Turkish also?
Turkish.
Wow. Happy days for the Elifs and Elifs of the world. My bright side is that my niece Lauren is in town, and I think in about an hour we're going to have a beer and a bite, so that'll be fun. I'll let somebody else say they're happy about the Ramblers. We'll start with line one. Victor, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
I want to remember Joseph Gentile, who gave millions to build the Loyola Gym.
The Gentile Center?
Right.
Where the Loyola Ramblers had a great season. Are you watching the games?
Yes, sir.
Man, aren't we all. Hey, thanks for the call. Didn't take long to have a shout-out for Loyola. What have you got there, Marsh?
from 815 after several miscarriages and years of disappointment. 1 week from today, my wife and I will find out the gender of our first child. She is 17 weeks.
Wow. Congratulations. How about that? How about Eleanor on line 7? You're on WGN. Eleanor, why are you smiling?
Because the White Sox are coming on.
Woohoo! Thanks for the call. Let's go to line 6. That's Christine. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Christine?
It's date night.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Let's go to Nancy. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Nancy?
Hi, John. My baby is having a baby, and we're having the baby shower tomorrow, and we're all so excited.
Always look on the light side of...
Darlene, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Darlene?
Today is my 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my God. You sound wonderful. You sound 50, not 50th anniversary.
I was a baby.
Hey, congrats to both of you. Thanks for the call. Marsha, let's see atop that.
All right. 630 says he quit his job this week at an insurance company with a horrible boss to open up his own agency.
Give me another one.
Oh, I just finished my first week of retirement. I'm going to love it. That's from 319.
How about Anthony? Anthony, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Anthony?
Hey, King John.
Hey.
I'm excited. I'm a happy human today because I found out, and Chicago found out, that our favorite sports broadcaster, Eddie Olczyk, is cancer-free.
So always look on the bright side.
What a nice call. What good news. Thanks for sharing that, my friend. How about Kevin on line 10? You're on WGN. Kevin, what's your bright side?
My bright side is, yeah, I'm stuck in the usual two-hour traffic home, but tomorrow morning we head to the airport, fly out of Chicago and land area, and head to Virginia for some good vacation.
If life seems jolly rotten...
That's what I'm talking about. It's the bright side. Is it Nadia on line 12? Nadia, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Nadia?
Hey, John, my music students from Dixon, Illinois, at Jefferson Elementary are singing the national anthem at the Ice Hogs game in Rockford tonight.
At the Ice Hogs in Rockford, go see, what's the name of the group or the school or the kids?
We're from Jefferson Elementary in Dixon, Illinois.
What do you got, Marsh? Give me another bright side.
630 says my 91-year-old father was knocked down by his son's 150-pound puppy but broke no bones.
Oh, man. how about this one? Scott, you're on WGN. Scott, tell us why you're smiling as soon as I hit the right button. There you are. Hey, Scott, you're on GN. What's your good news?
Yeah, smiling big. 12th year in a row, we're driving from Springfield, Missouri to Chicago for fantasy baseball draft. And baseball's here and spring's here. And Loyola is another one that's making me smile.
Boy.
They're going to go all the way.
I love watching those guys do the fantasy baseball draft picks. So you're doing that this weekend, huh?
Yeah, up in Long Grove. It's awesome every year.
Who's the must-have player on your roster? Who do you really want to get?
Oh, I got to say, one of them we want is the guy from Grayson from Colorado, and is Arenado.
Arenado.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a must to get this year. Or somebody like a Max Scherzer for as a pitcher.
Yeah. You going to follow the Sox with us this year?
Yeah, a little bit. but I get it. They're up and coming. In a couple of years, it's going to be fun to watch the Cubs and the Sox.
I think we're in the right place at the right time. Hey, Scott, thanks for the call. Now we're getting close to running out of time. Marsha, give me another bright side.
All right. 630 says that my husband, Jim, had liver and small bowel cancer, and they got it all. So cancer-free.
Dave's on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Dave?
I am driving on 65 heading to Nashville for a 3-day bachelor party with 26-year-olds, and I'm 44.
You're going to
see you tomorrow.
I got news for you. It's not as easy as it used to be to keep up with those guys. Maybe you're better at this, Dave, but be careful, my friend.
Definitely not.
Have a good day. I was at a bachelor party with my son and some of his pals, and I was there for about 3 hours. And then I said, see ya. I can't do this with you guys. Goodbye. All right, we're out of time. Marsha, thanks for coming down.
Thank you,
John. WGN Radio Sales on the Bright Side. We do that on Fridays. It's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute.